Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm 11 years old, and I'm from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
That's what we'll do today. We're sometimes joined by our friend Jada, but she's not here yet, so we're not sure if she's coming. But maybe we'll see her next week, if not later today. But we're going to go ahead and get started and share some literary stuff. I know, Fatia, you have a poem you wanted to share. Why don't we start with that?
Yes, it's called School Is Out by Lenore Hetrick. I'm practical, that's why I am, and I know why I like the month of May. I like it lots, for that is the month. We celebrate our last school day. Let the others know all the fits and spells about the beauties of the season. But I like May, because school is out, and I'm not ashamed to tell my reason.
What made you pick that poem?
Like two reasons, because like I love the last day of school, but then I also like find it like a little bit sad, and like the month of May is like one of my favorite months, because
Yeah.
I think it's like I think it's in winter or spring, but I'm pretty sure spring, and between winter and spring, like those months are like basically my favorite months.
That's interesting. I don't know if I have a favorite month or a favorite season anymore. I'm sure I did at different times of my life, but now I like them all about the same. Maybe I don't like March as much. I might have a least favorite. I feel like by that time I'm ready for it to be spring, but sometimes the winter is still holding on and it's not quite like the green stuff has not started coming yet. Yeah, I think that sometimes those transitional months can be the hardest, but they can also be very nice. It's interesting that you love the last day of school, but I know you also love school.
Yeah.
So is that funny for you that you love that school is ending, but you also love school?
I like school because there can be a lot of fun things. And I also like the last day of school because then like that's when we have like free time and we have to do very like least work.
I guess that's also a time where it's a, like I was just saying that the transitional month is sometimes not my favorite, but sometimes transitions are very fun too. So sometimes making that shift from school to summer, like that last day is exciting because you have the whole summer ahead of you. And then you know that in the fall, there'll be a whole new thing again. So
Yeah.
that can be fun. Very cool. Well, thank you for sharing that poem.
You're welcome.
So I thought since we're wrapping up the month of November and today is actually Native American Heritage Day and November is Native American Heritage Month. So I thought in honor of that, I would share some books, some descriptions of books written for young readers. So say these are middle grade books and two of them I've read and two of them I haven't read. So two have been on my to-read list for a long time, and two I checked off my list already. So I'll start with the one that's probably meant for the youngest audience. So that's Jojo McCune's The Used to Be Best Friend by Don Quigley with illustrations by Tara Odebert. And Don Quigley is a citizen of the Turtle Mountain Band of Ojibwe, North Dakota. And Tara is of, and I don't know quite how to pronounce this, but I'm going to try, Wolastoque French heritage. She resides in Canada. And I'm not sure what age this is suggested for, but it's an early chapter book. So it's more wordy, it's longer than an easy reader book, but it's not too dense. The typeface is a bit heavier. There's lots of fun illustrations in it. And this is the first in a series. And I've read at least one other book in the series. I can't remember if I've read more than one other, more than two of them. But I liked this one the best so far. It's a good introduction to the character. So I'll read the description of this. Hello, Boozhoo. Meet Jojo McCoons. Jojo McCoons Azor is a spirited 7-year-old who moves through the world a little differently than anyone else on her Ojibwe reservation. It always seems like her mom, her kokom, grandma, and her teacher have a lot to learn about how good Jojo is at cleaning up, what makes a good rhyme, and what it means to be friendly. Even though Jojo loves her number one best friend, Mimi, who is a cat, she's worried that she needs to figure out how to make more friends because Fern, her best friend at school, may not want to be friends anymore. Full of pride, joy, and plenty of humor, this first book in a chapter book series celebrates a spunky young Ojibwe girl who loves who she is. I read this a few years back when it first came out and really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great introduction to the character. She definitely is like a character that you would want to read more from. I think people that pick this up, young readers that read this, will want to continue with the series. You also do learn some Ojibwe words in the book, which is fun, like buzhu. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but I know what it looks like. And I think I actually, even though this one has really cute illustrations, I'm pretty sure I listened to this one as an audiobook. And so hopefully, presumably, the words are spoken correctly in there. But yeah, I think it's a great book. You learn a little bit about Ojibwe culture or her family's experience as Ojibwe people, but I think it's also super relatable to people that are not of Native descent, or of Ojibwe descent. So there's things about friendships and changing friendships and family and relationship with their pets and school drama and conflict. So definitely suggest this one. That's Jojo McCoon's The Used to Be Best Friend by Don Quigley with illustrations by Tara Odeberg. And so the next one I'll share is by an author I've read a lot from, but I have not read this particular book and I've been meaning to for a long time. So someday it will happen. But it is called Children of the Longhouse. It's by Joseph Bruschak, who's written books that I've read that are chapter books, nonfiction, and folk tales, like picture books. So here's the description for this one. He has made powerful enemies. Can he face them on the playing field? When Okwari overhears a group of older boys planning a raid, he immediately tells the elders of his Mohawk village. He knows he has done the right thing, but he has also made enemies. Grabber and his friends will do anything they can to hurt Ukwari, especially during the village-wide game of brutal lacrosse or Tekwaratan. Ukwari believes in the path of peace, but can peaceful ways work against Grabber's wrath? And I just think this sounds like a really interesting story. And I like Joseph Bruschak's writing a lot. I get liked everything I've read by him in the past. He's a well-respected author and storyteller. And one thing that's kind of cool about this book is they have like some pictures in the front that have like a map with the territories of the five nations of the Iroquois in the late 15th century, and like a little sort of family tree style thing of the Iroquois nations. That's always useful in having that as a tool to help you know what you're reading about, and the setting, and the peoples that are being discussed. Oh yeah. And Joseph Bruschak was actually raised pretty close to here in Saratoga Springs, which is just a little bit north of us. And he identifies as being of Abenaki English and Slovak ancestry. He's a member of the Nulhegan Abenaki Nation, which is a state-recognized tribe in Vermont. But yeah, so that one's a little bit more of like a historical fiction, but it also has some like sports element in it because of the inclusion of lacrosse in the book. So, sounds like an interesting book. Love to check it out sometime, and I will sometime. So, next up is a very popular first book in the series by Louise Erdrich. It's called The Birch Bark House. And I forget how many books are in the series. I know it's a very popular one, and someday I will read it. Looks like at least one, two, least four other books of the series. But so yeah, so it's The Birch Bark House by Louise Erdrich. And Erdrich is an acclaimed author. She writes a lot of books for adults. I don't know that she's written as many for young people outside of this book, but her books are acclaimed. She was won the Pulitzer Prize back in 2021. She's received the Library of Congress Prize for American Fiction, National Book Award for Fiction, and so on. And she is an enrolled member of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians of North Dakota, which is a federally recognized tribe of Ojibwe people. And one cool thing about her, too, is that she owns a bookstore in Minneapolis that focuses on Native American literature and the Native community in that area. So that's pretty cool. But this is Birch Bark House, and I'll read the description for this. Omakayas and her family live on the land her people call the Island of the Golden-Breasted Woodpecker. Although the Chimucuman white people encroach more and more on their land, life continues much as it always has. Every summer, they build a new birch bark house. Every fall, they go to ricin camp to harvest and feast. They move to the cedar log house before the first snows arrive and celebrate the end of the long, cold winters at maple sugaring camp. In between, Omakayas fights with her annoying little brother Pinch, plays with the adorable baby Niwo, and tries to be grown up like her big sister Angeline. But the satisfying rhythms of their life are shattered when a visitor comes to the lodge one winter night, bringing with him an invisible enemy that will change things forever, but that will eventually lead Omakayas to discover her calling. By turns moving and humorous, this novel is a breathtaking tour de force by a gifted writer. And that lists like all these different awards that they've won and all the starred reviews it got. So yeah, this is a very popular book. I think it's one of the better known books for young readers that portrays a Native experience by a Native Indigenous author. And I don't know why I haven't read it yet. I've started it before. I've started the audiobook before and then not had a chance to finish it before it got returned and then didn't get to finish it. So someday I have to get it and dive in and finish it off. And then who knows, maybe I'll read them all. Again, that one's part of a series. So again, that's The Birch Bark House by Louise Erdrich. And these are all middle grade books, so for tweens and younger teens primarily. Some younger readers too. The Jojo McCoon's book is definitely fine for younger readers too. All right. And then the last one I wanted to share today is How I Became a Ghost by Tim Tingle, who is also an acclaimed author. And he is an Oklahoma Choctaw storyteller and author. He's written many books, mix of chapter books, nonfiction, picture books. I've definitely read a number of books by him. And this book centers on the Trail of Tears. And his great great grandfather walked the Trail of Tears. And then in 1993, Tim Tingle, the author, retraced the trail to the Choctaw homelands in Mississippi and began recording stories of tribal elders. And this book was inspired by those memories that were shared. And like the other book I mentioned that has some illustrations inside, the end pages of this book have a map that shows the places featured in this book and the homelands and the trail. So here's the description for this one. Told in the words of Isaac, a Choctaw boy who does not survive the Trail of Tears, How I Became a Ghost is a tale of innocence and resilience in the face of tragedy. From the opening line, maybe you have never read a book written by a ghost before, the reader is put on notice that this is no normal book. Isaac leads a remarkable foursome of Choctaw comrades, a tough-minded teenage girl, a shape-shifting panther boy, a lovable five-year-old ghost who only wants her mom and dad to be happy, and Isaac's talking dog, Jumper. The first in a trilogy, How I Became a Ghost, thinly disguises an important and oft overlooked piece of history. And yeah, the opening of this book definitely grabbed me when I first read it. I can read the beginning. So it starts off in 1830 in Choctaw Nation, Mississippi. Maybe you have never read a book written by a ghost before. I am a ghost. I am not a ghost when this book begins, so you have to pay very close attention. I should tell you something else. I see things before they happen. You are probably thinking, I wish I could see things before they happen. Be careful what you wish for. That's definitely an interesting start to a story. And I think it also, I feel like when I was a kid, I wasn't always drawn into historical fiction. I like it a lot more as an adult. But I think the sort of potentially fantastical element of there being a ghost in this story and some of the other, like the shape-shifting panther boy and another ghost, I think that helps make it maybe a little more like exciting and different for someone that's not necessarily as excited about historical fiction and may help them to get into it by drawing them in. But this is a great book. This is another one where I read the first one, but I haven't read the second one yet. I really should because I love this book so much. Again, that's How I Became a Ghost, a Choctaw Trail of Tears story by Tim Tingle. And for all of these, so Tim Tingle, Louise Erdrich, Joseph Bruschak, those three in particular, they have so many great books that you can borrow at your library or find at your favorite bookstore that are just really great. And I think they should be read more. And I encourage listeners out there to check the books out, both today, Native American Heritage Day, this month, Native American Heritage Month, and throughout the year. Is they're telling very interesting stories, very important stories, and very entertaining and engaging stories. So highly suggested. If you ever want suggestions for particular books, feel free to hit me up at the library and I'll help you find some. Yeah, those are my book picks for this week. At the moment, I'm sort of between books. I just finished some, so I have to figure out what's next. So you'll find out next week when I report back on them. Hopefully I'll finish it by next week. Do you have anything fun you're reading recently, Fatia, for school or on your own?
Yes, just like it's like a story. It's like a story. I don't know what it's called, but it's like about pizza.
About pizza?
Yeah.
Sounds delicious. It's about like making pizza or about a talking pizza? The
It's
adventures
about
of a
like
pizza?
making pizza.
About making pizza. It is very fun to make pizza.
Yeah, it talks about like how robots make pizza.
Robots?
Factories, yeah.
Whoa. I didn't realize robots made pizza. Do you think their pizza's any good?
Well, I think it's gonna be mid.
Could be.
Because then, like, the program could do it exactly, and then they can also make some mistakes.
Think some of it will come down to the ingredients, like how good are the ingredients and the conditions in which it's being made. Because I think how the dough gets formed would depend a lot on temperature and like the materials. Like I've been making pizza for a year in a and making the dough in like a metal container, and then I read somewhere this year that metal can impact the yeast when you're trying to proof the yeast for the dough. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I should start making this in glass instead of metal after, 40 some years of making pizza in a metal container. So I've started doing it in glass. I don't know if it's any better, but it's not any worse. But that sounds interesting. Is that for school or for just on your own? The pizza robots.
It's like for school.
Is it like in an English class or in some other class?
It's in like some other class, like for ELA. We have
Oh,
it
okay.
on Action 3000 for testing.
Okay. So English language arts.
Yeah.
ELA. Cool. I was like, I wonder if it's for like, do y'all still have home ec? I don't know if that still exists.
I don't think it still exists.
So when I was growing up in, so it was in middle school, which was like grades 5th to 8th was my middle school. And we had it was home economics or home ec, and you would do like cooking and sewing. don't remember if you did anything else. I think it was mostly cooking and sewing. So it could be interesting reading about robots making pizza in a home economics class, because then you can make your own pizza. But anyways, enough about pizza. It's making me hungry. We should say goodbye for today. We hope everyone has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then.
Happy reading!